Good to see everyone out here this morning. It is good to have this good weather to be able to be here, to not have to stand inside the doors and worry about getting wet or any of the electronics getting wet. And it's good to see people be willing to get out. And, you know, it's just always wonderful to be here to worship God as we have the opportunity to do so. Tomorrow's another main holiday that is celebrated throughout this nation. Memorial Day, a day in remembrance of all those who have also made sacrifices for this country. And we want to certainly thank them all for that. In mindset of that, and considering why it is so many serve in the military and so many have made that sacrifice of life for us, if we just think that, well, there's just war, and that's all we think about it, we may consider the question of why do they need to go to war? Why do they do these things? And so in order to appreciate that sacrifice, in order to understand why it's there and why we have a day in remembrance, is means we'd have to look at our freedom. We'd have to look at what we're blessed with in this country, what we're blessed with being able to live today in America, and all the constitutional rights that we have as Americans. And when I was thinking about that, it made me come to the thought of some people often ask why we have to preach about sin. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, and hopefully you'll understand my introduction there as we get into the lesson. But so many don't understand why we have to preach about that, why we have to go forth and make mention of the things that are wrong, that we just could focus upon the good stuff, focus on Christ and his sacrifice, focus on heaven and the pearly gates. And people want to focus on God's love and kindness and focus on all the good that we can see as Christians. And certainly we need to be talking about those things also. But to truly appreciate those things, I think we need to understand sin. We need to understand exactly what those things mean with knowing what sin is. And so I hope that you open your Bibles and follow along as we go through this morning and we talk about why we need to talk about sin, why it is we have to preach on it and teach about it and study about it and open up our Bibles and follow me. And so the first thing I want to bring out is so that we know the seriousness of our choices. The seriousness of making the choice of whether or not to go forth and do these sins, to fall into the temptation that you have as you live each and every day upon this earth. We have to preach about sin because you need to know those things. If we go to Romans in chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, if you turn along with me there. Romans 6, and reading there in verse 23, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So one of the reasons we got to preach about sin is because the consequence is death. And of course, we could see that from the beginning of time. We could see that when God created man and God put us upon this earth, that he had given instruction to Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge. Otherwise, they would surely die. And that came to be. That certainly came to be. I'm having a hard time just standing still. Every week I got to stand up here and just hold the mic in one spot. But as we look at that, of course, we can bring out that that definitely brought out spiritual death. That as we go forth and see that when we sin, that we choose to separate ourselves from God, that we fall into the snare of the Satan, and that he has snared us and caught us, and also set up the punishment of the second death that we could read about in Revelation chapter 20, at the very end, verses 14 and 15. That those that are not in the book of life are cast into this lake of fire. But also we did enter into an actual death upon this earth, because in the midst of that garden, there was also the tree of life. That God had cast Adam and Eve out of there because he said, lest they also eat of the tree of life and become more like us. And that we'd had eternity upon this world. The consequences of sin is death. And we need to understand that. We need to know that as we live our lives every day, as we make choices every day. If you turn along with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7, and starting there in verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So we get that option to make the choice ourselves. The option to choose whether to be faithful to God or to sin, to take the easy path and do what everybody else does, or the option to take the harder path and follow our Lord and Savior, follow in His footsteps. But again, it has consequences. It has its own reward in what choice you make. If you choose to go down that easy path, you choose to follow into sin. You choose to disobey the words of God. Then you're heading down a path that leads to destruction, that leads to death. So we have to preach about sin because we have to warn one another on the path that someone might be in, or warn one another to stay away from such path, not to get on it, to warn them of the consequences if they choose to go down it. But also to preach about and understand how great a reward there is if you choose not to go down such a path, knowing that it leads to being against our Lord and Savior God. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, James chapter 4 and in verse 4, here it reads and it tells us there, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." When you choose to go against God, you choose to go down the path of sin, then you choose to put yourself against God. And see, so many, once again, if we just focus on the love and we focus on God's sacrifice and Jesus' sacrifice, which is extremely important, but we don't preach about sin and what it does to us, then we won't understand why we have to stop. Because when you choose to continue in sin and you choose not to obey God, it sets you on the opposite side of our God. It makes you an enemy of the Lord. Rather than saying you're truly, truly thankful for that sacrifice, truly thankful that he was willing to go forth and be nailed to a cross and not give in and call 12 legions of angels to descend from heaven and to set him free and to just destroy this world. So we don't truly get to appreciate that if you don't understand what sin is going to do to you. We need to understand it so that we don't face the wrath of our Lord and Savior. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 5, Romans chapter 2 and in verse 5, here it says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." So once again, it comes down to our choice. It comes down to what you want to do. And so, as we live our lives from day to day, we need to know what sin is so that we don't store up wrath for ourselves. Another reason we have to preach about sin, another reason is so that we can truly appreciate Christ's sacrifice. Otherwise, we're simply looking at history and we're simply looking and saying, well, there was a man, he was a good man, had some followers. He died for what he preached about, you know. But besides that, if we don't truly understand what sin is, the consequence of that sin, knowing that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so therefore without this sacrifice, no one would get to heaven. Not one person, not you, not me. Without the sacrifice of Christ, because of the sin that we have committed, because we all have, we would not get to heaven. So why do we have to preach about sin? Why do we got to talk about it? Because then we can truly acknowledge and see how great this sacrifice is. Understanding what exactly it has done for us, to truly appreciate what Christ has done for us. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners. Meaning, while we were enemy of God. That's what we read in James chapter 4 and verse 4. While we were on the opposite side, he died for those who were there at that time and moment that had nailed him to the cross. He died for the Jews that were there shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." He died for you and he died for me. To appreciate that, we have to acknowledge what we gain from that, and understanding that through his sacrifice is how we are able to gain the forgiveness of our sins. In 1 Peter chapter 1, if you turn along with me there. 1 Peter 1, and read along with me in verse 18. Here it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We have been forgiven. We have that opportunity to have salvation, to have a home in heaven, not because how much money you put in the collection, how much, you know, you've been sending through the mail during these times, or giving to Tom, however you've been going about it. Not by those things, not by a money amount, not by how many people you've told about Jesus. Certainly, we need to, once again, keep his commandments, share the good news, preach the word. But only through the sacrifice of Christ can we have that sins forgiven. Only through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can we truly be redeemed. And we have to truly know what sin is to understand why it's so important to know about the blood of Christ. We just took the Lord's Supper. The remembrance, the memorial for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. Again, to truly appreciate this sacrifice. To truly acknowledge what it means for Christ to have died for us so that your sin, it means that we have to know what sin is. Now, this is one of the things that if someone were to ask me to talk to their young ones and choosing to obey the gospel, this is one of the things I try to ask, and it's a harder thing to distinguish from. But do they understand that their sins and what sin is are forgiven by the sacrifice, by being baptized into Christ? See, this is why I can't move around. I keep losing my page. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, if you read with me there, Matthew 26 and verse 26, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, and from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And so he says once again that we take this in the remembrance of his body. We take the fruit of the vine in the remembrance of the blood that is shed for us. For what reason? For the forgiveness of sins. Again, if we don't acknowledge that we've sinned and that it's the only way for it to be forgiven, then are we going to truly appreciate the sacrifice that Christ has made? We need to know what sin is so that we don't just throw Christ under the bus, but we truly acknowledge how great of a sacrifice he made. In Hebrews chapter 10, and you read with me there in verse 29, it says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace? So we don't want to get caught up in there and saying, oh yeah, Christ died, someone who had followers. But acknowledging that he did that for you. Acknowledging that he did that so that you don't have to face the wrath of God, so that you don't have to go to an eternal life of punishment, torment, but rather that you can have a life in heaven without any worries, where there is no pain, no tears, no death. Truly understanding how great a sacrifice Christ has made for us. Final point for this morning, we need to know what sin is so we know what sin is. We know right from wrong. So we're able to live our lives upon this earth and know whether or not we should be doing these things. We need to know what they are. And if we don't open up our Bibles and read it, if we don't go about studying it with one another, we don't go about preaching it to others, then we're going to forget what sin is. We're going to sit there and say, is this okay to do? Well, I assume so because other people are doing it. That doesn't mean that it's not sin. We have to be able to know right from wrong. In Galatians chapter 5, and starting there in verse 19, if you turn along with me, Galatians 5, and starting in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we read these verses, and you ask why we need to preach about sin. It's because we need to know what's going to keep us from being part of God's children. What's going to keep us from entering into heaven? That's these things right here that we just read about. The sin that God has defined as sin, that God has defined through the inspired word. So we need to know these things. We need to know what sin is. But it also, in knowing what sin is, we know not what to do. But as we open up our Bibles, we'll learn of the things that we should be doing. As you continue reading in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so we need to know these things. We need to know right from wrong. We need to be able to distinguish what we can and cannot do according to the words of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and reading there in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says here, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to know what sin is so that we can know what is the right, what is the wrong. So we know what we need to do in order to get to heaven. So I encourage you to always open up your Bibles and continue to study daily. And that we talk about with one another what is and is not sin. So that as we live our lives and as the temptations come upon us, we know whether or not we should be doing these things. And we'll be able to tell the others who may be putting that temptation in front of you, be able to explain it and show them in the Bible where it says that we should not be doing these things so that we can also help them get to heaven. So this is one some of the reasons that we need to know what sin is and why we have to be willing to talk about it. Because if we know what sin is, then we understand why we have to preach the good news. Why and how great it is that our Lord and Savior died so that your sins can be forgiven. And I want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If there's anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, we had the wonderful example set last week. Someone who chose to obey the gospel after studying with others. And they weren't even here in the parking lot service. They had given us a call and understood how important it was to get baptized into Christ, to have your sins forgiven. That just because they had stayed home and watched online, watched on Facebook, and acknowledging that they needed their sins forgiven, was willing to go ahead and make a 30-minute drive to come and do that, to make sure that their sins were forgiven that day. So understand how important it is that you receive this gift that God has given you, that He's been patient with you to allow you this day to examine your life, to acknowledge the sacrifice of Christ, and to be baptized into Him to have your sins forgiven. If you need the prayers of the congregation, whatever you need, you will let it be known as we sing the invitation song.
There's a great day coming,
a great day coming,
there's a great day coming by and by,
when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are ye ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Closing song this morning will be